You're listening to the Just One Outdoors Podcast.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Just One Outdoors Podcast. And today we are recording in arguably, not even, we are recording in the best place we could ever record in. We are at Elk Camp in the Rocky Mountains, and it has been quite a camp so far.
Fully agree. I couldn't imagine having a better camp so far. And if you guys are wondering why my voice is sounding scratchy, it's because of all the yelling we did yesterday. It was a very special moment.
Yeah. Before we get to that, I want to kind of talk briefly about kind of our expectations coming in. What were your guys' expectations for this out camp coming in as pretty much first timers? Doing it ourselves. Deegan, I know you went once, but you had a pretty good guide. So,
yeah.
What were your expectations?
Man, guys, I was just hoping to see one. This early in season, it gets kind of spotty on here at Umbugle. Sometimes they strike up early, but most of the time it's a grind. You've got to glass them, and then you got to stalk them, throw out some cow calls. You can get them talking every once in a while like that. But, I mean, I figured it was going to be a grind, last-minute sort of deal. But... yeah, I mean, that's pretty much was my expectations. Hopefully lay eyes on one.
Yeah, yeah. Just to see. If we could have seen a cow elk, I would have called that a success.
Mm-hmm. I honestly, and if you follow our Instagram or really any of our socials, you know what happened. But I did not expect to get into the situation that we got into. I definitely thought, you know, we may see some. I expected to see some. I never expected to kill one.
Yeah.
And, you know, we started out, we'll kind of just go through really quick, and then we can talk about, obviously, the most important part, but Clyde and I got out here, and we started scouting, and we saw just about everything you could see.
Every species.
Besides elk.
I even saw a buffalo herd on the way in. I'm sure they were domesticated, but...
buffalo, moose, mule deer, squirrels, chipmunks.
Pronghorn.
Grouse. Antelope,
well, bear.
It's been a long week.
Pronghorn and antelope are different in our books.
At this point, yes.
But then yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, we were just going, we just want to see one. Kind of the whole just one motto is, hey, just all one. It takes is just one. And things changed rapidly. And we have to give a shout out for his protection. We're going to call him the Chinese man.
Sounds good.
The Chinese man.
We can call him that.
He is a local who helped us out tremendously and gave us some intel. We had scouted before season opened, and we decided to hit this new place sight unseen. And that turned out to be really beneficial. I don't even know where should we go from there?
Well, I mean, first of all, we found everywhere that the elk aren't during our scouting. Mm-hmm. Like, we must have busted it out, like, what, 20 miles of mm-hmm. just turning up nothing.
And we also need to get into some of the struggles I had getting out here.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, man. Well, guys, that 12-hour, 45-minute trip, or whatever it's supposed to be, expected to be like 13, 14 hours, turned into about a 20-hour drive session. My dad has a 06 Chevy Duramax with 350,000 miles on it, give or take. And yeah, she decided to overheat on us a few times out here on the side of a mountain, spit cooling everywhere. And we barely limped it into camp. I think we got it squared away now, but we didn't roll into camp until late Thursday night when we were supposed to be here Thursday afternoon. So right there, it was like, this could either we got the struggles out of the way or they're just going to continue. We had no idea after that.
Yeah, and you know, one thing that we said, Clyde and I were talking, then the struggles you had getting here, and then we all kind of were saying the same thing of, we can't put in this much work and not see anything. Like, yeah, it's going to pay off at some point, because, I mean, I've walked alone probably 40 miles. You guys have probably walked about the same, if not more.
Yeah.
Because of the pack out.
And weight and everything else. But, my feet are still killing me.
It's crazy how we put in so much work, didn't find anything, and then opening morning came around, and we found almost instant success.
Yeah, it was a beautiful, beautiful opening morning. I mean, we were just planning on sitting up, glass and eating some breakfast, and then Austin just screamed out, or just started whispering to us, hey, there they are. There's two below. And we had heard that multiple times, keep in mind.
Yeah, I think we had all said that at one point, like oh, elk. And I said it more than anyone, because I'm like, oh, there's an elk. No, that's a cow, because there are so many stinking cows out
and
here.
I was like, oh, great, he found another stump with antler-looking branches.
So,
We also have to say, like, this wasn't like, you guys had already sat down, had jet boils out, had your meals out, and were just about to start the boiling process. I was getting out my stuff and just so happened to step on a higher rock that lifted me up just enough to see the back of something. And I thought it was a mule deer because that's all we've seen out here.
Yeah.
We've seen everything but for elk. Sure. But, you know, I didn't think it was an elk. And got my binos on it, and that's when I started yelling at you guys like, oh crap, like, this is here real. We go. And so I honestly don't remember much of what happened, just because it was like you started calling and this all happened in the span of what, 5 minutes?
Oh man, it happened all before 7 a.m.
It was crazy. Yeah. Opening day, opening hour, first time for pretty much all of us on our own.
Minutes after shooting light.
Yeah.
It was insane. They came, I mean, I threw out a handful of cow calls and one locator bugle to them, and, I mean, they just came in on a string. Started at about, let's say, 200 yards and closed the gap, I mean, within 10 minutes to 50.
Mm-hmm.
It was, and they would have kept coming had they seen a cow.
Yeah.
I mean, they just had nothing to look at besides us kneeling down, and they got a bit skittish, and I stopped them two more times.
Yeah. It was kind of crazy. Just because, like, I had said, or you had said, Deegan, that this just looks like elk country.
Yep.
And there was an area, it was kind of
elky.
a burn scar.
Yep.
And then there was, like, a place of, like, green. And it was, like, it looked like a mix of kind of the pines and aspens type trees. And I had said, hey, keep your bows by you, because I feel like an elk can come out.
We disobeyed that rule, unfortunately.
I'm the only one. Honestly,
to be fair, we were like, what, 10 feet from our bows? But
yeah.
By the time like we noticed where they were at, they were looking right at us. Yeah. There was no way we could have got to them.
My initial view of that bull, of the lead bull, the one that Austin shot, he was looking directly at me.
Mm-hmm.
I could not move.
Yeah, and, you know, like, I had called it out, told you where it was, but you guys both thought I was saying, I was like, out there in front of us. I should have said yards, because you guys both looked at the mountaintop behind us.
Yeah, so the way it worked was we were hunting on a burn scar at the top of a mountain around 9,600 feet. And we were sitting on one ridge, there was another ridge across from us, and then there was another ridge on the other side you could see all the way across it. So when we were looking at this other ridge, which is where the bull was, just across from us, we were thinking he was on the far one. So we were like, okay, keep in mind where he's at. Let's lay eyes on him, get excited, and we'll eat our breakfast and head over there.
And we weren't quiet getting up that mountain.
We were talking. I think there was a few giggles here and there.
Yeah, you did not expect a two bull elk to be within, let's say, 200 yards, because I think that's about where I spotted him at.
Yeah.
And they were above us coming up, so thermals and everything, kind of crazy.
We got very lucky with the wind and thermals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which may have been what those bulls picked up on.
By the time we got sat up, or like ready to shoot them, the wind and thermals were perfect. They were almost even with us until he got to about 30 yards, and then I think he caught our thermals.
Yeah.
That and not seeing an elk. But yeah, so Deegan let out a bugle, and I had my bow, I had my release ready, and the other bows were like, not far away, but just far enough
where you couldn't reach
that you couldn't get to them.
Yeah,
because these bulls were looking at us and coming to us.
And also keep in mind that we were so stoked to see a bull, and we knew. I mean, I know from chasing stubborn Easterns in Missouri, when you get one shot, you need to take it, because otherwise you may not get another chance. Mm-hmm. So the fact that we were all hunting for each other, mm-hmm. and we consider this our bull, mm-hmm. it didn't matter to me who took that shot at that point.
Yeah.
I mean, would I have loved to arrow him? Yes. I had a perfect shot. I mean, under 50 yards broadside. But and I was frustrated at that point, and still am. But, I mean, at the end of the day, there's a bullet on the ground. He's dead. He didn't go 40, and the celebration was legendary.
And we found where they like to be.
Yes. Yo. And so we're headed back out in the morning. We needed a day to recoup after the 15 hours it took to get him out of the mountains yesterday.
That was the best I've slept in a while.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Clyde, what was going through your mind as they were coming in? Because you couldn't see them till they were, what, maybe 100 yards out?
Yeah, so I was still just looking around. Granted, I believe you when you took your pack off, your bino harness is attached to your pack, so I don't think you had your rangefinder.
No.
So I'm sitting there.
Your range
I grabbed it and handed it to Deegan as I came over and grabbed my bow, and you bugled.
Yeah. So I'm sitting there with my rangefinder in one hand, the camera in the other, and I'm, like, kind of going between the two. And it's just like, oh, gosh, they're actually coming. They're coming. And I'm, like, just slowly, like, creaking my head back to the rangefinder, clicking the button, looking back at the camera screen. And eventually, like, you took one shot, and all I could see out of the corner of my eye was your broadhead. And I'm just like, God, please don't shoot me. Please don't shoot
It's like,
me.
Do not shoot him. But if that bull had went, it came into about... I think it was about 45 yards. It was kind of hard to range because of where the trees were.
He was getting to where he was in our lap.
Yeah. He would, if he would have went, I guess, to his left, our right, he would have been broadside at 30 yards.
Right.
But if he went to the right, I would have had to either try to stand and shoot, or Clyde would have had to do some sort of matrix move without the elk seeing him to get on the ground so I could shoot.
Yeah, and there's one bush we had to hide behind this entire time. I was completely in the open. Oss, you were pretty much in the open. Clyde, you had a little bit of cover, but not much.
But when that first bull, like, when it was just hiding behind the bush, we were just like, where is it going to go? And then the smaller one, he was getting real suspicious of us. And I'm honestly surprised that the cow call just brought him back instantly. Like, if we would have had two bows, we would have had two bulls down, no doubt.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Easy money. I mean, that one, he was getting skittish in the distance, but I think he would have been... I think I could have called him in.
Mm-hmm.
I think that... The only problem with that would have lied in the fact that that lead bull was so close at that point.
Yep.
If I had kept calling, he was going to walk right into us.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean... It was rough.
Yeah, so that bull, it got behind the first bull, the lead bull, got behind the tree. I drew back. I missed the first shot. I think it was a combination of trying to shoot through a tree, nerves, and then also the string hitting my sleeve.
Yeah.
And I think the string hitting my sleeve was partially nerves. Just because when I went to full draw, because I had to wait for it to get behind the tree, full draw, and I had to wait for the second bull not to be looking. Went to full draw, and I held that for probably a minute. It felt like 5 minutes, but it was probably only a minute. And I was shaking like crazy. And ended up missing that shot. And, you know, I was kicking myself. I was about ready to jump off a cliff.
Yeah.
Until Deegan let out. So I shot the second bull, had already kind of turned and was heading away. And then he heard the shot and left.
Yeah.
I don't even know where he went.
No.
The first bull... ran, and Deegan let out another cow call, and this bull just, on a dime, pivots his broadside at about 82 yards, and then turns and just faces us again.
Let's just say 90 at this point.
It was about 120. No. But it was like looking at us, and, you know, I said to Deegan, how far? Actually, I don't even know who I was saying it
you
to because you both had you both had rangefinders.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, how far? Someone said 80.
Yeah.
Turns out that you were guessing.
Yeah.
And I said
ranged it after the fact and got 81.8 and then said, I was like, 80. Yeah, 80.
We're okay. So I said on 80. I draw back and, you know, on a deer or any other animal, even at targets sometimes, I'm like, I don't want to shoot 80.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, obviously, it's an elk. I want to kill it. But I was just so confident that I was going to make that shot that I just said on 80, drew back without even thinking.
I think you even said, you're like, I can hit it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you did. You're like, I can kill him right there. I was like, kill him if you can kill him.
Yeah.
Done.
And I don't know why, like, it reminds me of Cam's first deer. last year, that doe at 51 yards. Because Cam had always been the one to say, I won't shoot past probably 45. And then he draws back, and 51 yards, he's like, I can hit him, or hit it. And I'm like, okay. And it reminded me of that, just like, I just drew back and was like, no doubt in my mind. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, the best part of all of that is I feel like Clyde and I had the utmost confidence in you taking that shot. And I also want to point out for anybody that's going to say, hey, you know, why did you take an 80-yard shot on an animal? That's unethical. My uncle, who is a guide here, I mean, he's guided in Colorado. I think he doesn't have his license here anymore. New Mexico, Arizona, all those places. He has even said 80 yards is not untypical on an elk. You would like to have them closer. If you can get them closer, great. But if you're prepared to take that 80-yard shot and you know you can make it, make it.
I mean, elk are... The elk I shot was massive. Like, that was a big elk. Target,
yeah.
Like, it's a big target to hit. And, you know, when you're out shooting that little dice target and stuff, like with you guys, or going to TAC and stuff, and shooting that range, it builds your confidence.
Yeah.
You know, at TAC, I was shooting 110, 115, and actually hitting the target. Were they accurate shots? Not every one, but most of them were decent enough shots to probably kill an animal.
And keep in mind, this isn't broadside where you have the guts and everything else you could hit and never find this deer. It was either he was going to hit it and kill it, or he was going to miss completely.
Yep.
There was no real room for a bad shot there.
Can we talk about that, like, second of the arrow flight where just everything was just silent? It was just...
Yeah, it was like when the quarterback throws a Hail Mary pass in the state championship. Yeah. We're all sitting there.
Like, I swear even the birds went quiet.
Yeah.
You saw that elk's head in the video. So go to our YouTube and check out the video. It should be posted here at some point. I don't know. We're going to work on it. And
we're all tired. Give us time.
Yeah, but you're going to have to keep an eye out for that, because you see this elk's head look at us, staring at us, trying to find the cow. It turns, and as it's like it's turned looking right, and it turns back, and right as it's like starting to turn back, I release. And that second, I think we all were just...
Yeah.
Speechless, like, is this going to make contact?
Right.
And then we saw the blood.
Oh, just... man. Like, you didn't even... It was such a long shot, you didn't hear, like, that typical smack that you hear with, like, deer.
You just heard a pop was all it was. It was like a pop.
In the video, you hear the faintest pop, but then, like you said, the like blood. It turns, and all of us instantly knew that this animal was a dead animal.
Yeah.
Like, even, you know, some deer that you shoot, like, you think you hit the double lungs, but you may have hit somewhere, and it's just kind of like, I don't know. You don't know when it's going to go down.
Yeah.
This animal, we knew it was going down, and it was going down within 100 yards.
Yeah. And it was one of those deals where it was like, I mean, I've heard of a lot of bulls getting shot. I've known of a lot of people to kill a bull. I've never seen one die within 100 yards. It's very, very, very rare. So,
and I have to...
Clyde might be glassing a bull right now out of her window.
I'm glassing some cows as
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure those are cows. I caught them earlier.
Angus, not...
Angus cows, yes. That is out hunting out here in Colorado. Colorado does on a lot of their BLM, a lot of their just public land, usually works with ranchers to have cows on the land to help just maintain it. Oh, man, it makes it difficult because...
everywhere.
You're like, oh, there's a cow. There's a cow. That's a cow track. And you're like, cow elk or cow cow?
So we have developed a saying where we say Rocky Mountain or Angus. And if you say Angus, you know it's a beef cow, obviously.
Which, I mean, I wouldn't mind harvesting one of those, but I think that's illegal, so...
That'd be a bad pack out.
But I think the best part of what made this hunt so memorable is the work we've put in, obviously, and the, you know, we've been dreaming about it, we've been talking about it. How's it going to look. I don't think any of us thought we would actually have a shot at a bull, and let alone killable, and all of a sudden everything changed in a moment.
Yep.
And as soon as we saw that blood, we've all been hunting long enough that we all went, holy crap, this just happened. We put it together from the call to the video to the shot. Everything was executed to perfection. And yeah, we got lucky.
Yeah.
But we also didn't get lucky.
Yeah. I don't know, boys. The night before we went out, I was like, all right, you guys ready to shoot a bull, like, within a couple hours?
Right. It came together so perfect. And I still think I'm dreaming almost, because it's like, I never thought I'd have buddies to go out here with.
Yeah.
And have such a great group of guys who are as determined as I am to kill something and to harvest an animal, but also not just trophy hunting, actually genuinely care about that animal.
Yeah.
And it's been really cool just to hang out with you guys this week. And I mean, that was opening day.
Yeah.
We still have a long time left.
We've still got two more elk tags and a couple bear tags.
We have three more elk tags if we include your dad.
And three more bear tags.
And three more bear tags, which is just... That's not going to happen.
We didn't even talk about the bear we saw the first night we camped.
Oh my gosh,
here.
Yeah.
We did not sleep at all.
No, we didn't sleep
night.
That first night.
Like, what, 1,000 yards from camp? We just see a couple of bears just hanging out.
Two massive black bears.
I can't get over freaking you guys out by saying, guys, it's not what you can hear that you need to worry about. It's what you can't hear, like mountain lions sneaking up on you in your tent.
Dude, as I was packing out the elk, I was terrified of seeing a mountain lion.
Oh, me too, because I didn't have my gun.
Right?
I was like, trying to catch up with Clyde. I, like, gassed myself. I was like, I know he's got one. I got to catch him. And I was, like, looking down, seeing cats. I'd stop and, like, look behind me as I'm...
Right.
Trekking out. Cat tracks as big as your palm are big.
Yeah. I think, but I really think the coolest part of this hunt was the celebration that we all had. Because it wasn't me doing it. It wasn't you doing it. It wasn't you doing it. It was all of us working together. This elk dropped, and we freaking lost our minds.
Instantly.
Yeah.
Like, before this bull was down, that's how confident we were that we killed it, because we just started screaming. And then I remember just faintly turning and seeing the bull take a step and then rock backwards and kind of do that little, like, stumble almost. And that's when I was like, crap, dude, this just all came together.
It was instant tears. I almost threw up. Mm-hmm. Clyde was out of breath. I lost my voice. It was something that you would see in, like, a story or something, like a movie.
Well, dude, even when watching the videos, it doesn't feel like it was us. Like, I feel like I'm watching someone else.
Yeah.
It's like, then I remember, I'm like, oh, I was there. I was part of that.
Yeah.
I saw that in real life.
Yeah, and it's going to be a story we talk about for years.
Dude, the coolest thing, like, to touch the antlers of this animal, like...
I didn't even shoot it. I was standing there, like, rubbing the antlers, like, I can't believe we just did this. Because it would not have been possible if one of us hadn't been here.
Mm-hmm.
I truly believe that.
Oh, yeah. There have been so many people who have said congratulations to me for shooting it. I'm like, what you don't understand is, like, I probably had one of the easiest jobs.
Yeah.
I just had to let the arrow fly. You had to call it. You had to range it and video. I don't know how you managed to get as good of a video, because every time I watch that freaking video, I get hype again.
Yeah.
I watched it last night, and I'm, like, dozing off.
We've watched it.
And then I watched that video, and I was up for the next hour.
We'll just be sitting in camp, and you just hear my little cow call, like, yeah.
We need to save that for when we're doing a cardio in the off season. Just stick that on the treadmill.
For,
like,
real.
I don't want to work out today. You just, like, pull up the video of the bull, and you're like, all right, let's get
also,
to it.
Also, about 5 minutes after we watched the bull go down, then in my head I was like, ah, oh, crap.
Yeah.
Now the work starts.
Oh, that was miserable.
The hike up to our spot already sucked.
That's another thing. We walked through our feet yesterday. Like, I have two giant blisters on my feet that I've been nursing all day long. I mean, we were in pain. We gave it all we got.
We've put in 40 miles, at least 40 miles, to get a bull out of the mountains, including the scouting, everything. I mean, we've put in work. And it just, I mean, this bull, we got lucky that it was 2.5 miles back.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't deep, deep, which we were planning on. We had our packs ready to go
and set up
camp.
I wish we would have known, so we could have just, like, packed in light, you know, would have left all of our food and camp stuff.
Yeah. I don't know. Breakfast was nice.
Oh, that biscuits and gravy on the mountainside, man.
Can't beat that.
But also, back to the bull, I was just thinking about this. Because I didn't eat that morning because I had too much adrenaline. I was going to throw up. That bull was a very good bull for Colorado, first time out.
Oh, yeah.
Like, for us to put it together and not just kill a spike or something like that, but to actually put together and call in two 5x5s, Yeah. I mean, that's... I'm still blown away at how it all happened and that we were able to do that because we're whitetail hunters.
Oh, yeah. I also want to point out that while we killed a bull our first time out, you talked to somebody and they said we're part of 5%
mm-hmm.
of archers.
Yeah.
5%. Like, that sets in. You know, we've still got 5 more days to hunt, and we've located the elk. We know there's another bull on that mountain.
Well, not a lot of people thought we could do it. Like, they might not have said that we couldn't, but, you know.
Oh, my dad, who came out here with us, was like, really?
Let's be real. Did any of us think we could do it?
To be honest, no.
I looked at you when I got my knife out to start skinning the thing and butchering it, or cutting it, quartering it. I looked at you and go, where do I even start? I didn't think we would make it here.
Yeah.
Like, I legitimately didn't... I thought this was going to be a vacation with buddies, and I would get to hunt.
A nice
and
relaxing hike through the mountains with your bow.
There was nothing relaxing about
I wasn't planning on relaxing. I told you both, and you guys both told me, we're going to do whatever it takes to kill one.
Yeah.
And we did. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think one of the best parts was we were sitting out the night before season, talking about where do we want to go, how do we want to hunt, taking in all the information we've got, because your dad pointed out, you're listening to so many other people, because we had voices from everywhere going, go here, look this, look at that, do this.
And Austin, you were panicking, and we were actually hiking out because you were frustrated and panicking. Yeah. Like, I can't find these elk. And I was like, calm down. We still got 9 more days, or like 8 more days, whatever. We've got time.
Mm-hmm.
Whether we're hunting and scouting or whether we're just scouting, we can find these elk.
Yeah. But your dad goes, just trust yourselves. Like,
you're smart. And, you know what you're doing. You're good hunters.
And we came, like, one of the stories that prove that we can do it is, you know, you mentioned your uncle who's came out here a lot. We're at the same campsite he brought you to. Without knowing. Like, yeah. Clyde and I
rolled up and weren't you telling your dad, it's like, this place looks familiar.
My dad was like, holy crap, they're camped in the exact same spot. Austin's tent is in the exact same spot mine was last time.
It's like, for us to be able to do that, and, you know, there's luck involved, all of that stuff, but for us to look at the terrain on the map and go, hey, there's some saddles here, you know, this looks like it could be a good spot. And to set up here, where a very experienced guy set up, and not to mention all, like, how many trucks are up there today? 20?
Yeah.
And
they're hunting away from where the elk are, as far as we know.
Yeah. Like, it proved to us that we know what we're doing.
Yeah.
Even though it's our first time elk hunting, we know how to hunt.
Yeah.
And we put it together, you know. We had some help from a local, but that's part of hunting, too, is talking to people, gathering intel, and then making a decision on where you want to go.
And even though, yeah, he pointed us in the perfect direction, and I honestly don't know if it would have been possible without him. With him pointing us in the right direction, we still had to put in the work and get to that point. Mm-hmm. And that would not have been possible without all the work we put in the off season.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was running 2 miles a day. Clyde, you were pretty much doing the same. Austin, you were working on that. Strength training, everything. Accuracy, mm-hmm. we shot 3D all summer long mm-hmm. to get ready for this. I mean,
well, just going to TAC, shooting with you, shooting at 3D with both of you.
Yep.
That's what made an 82-yard shot possible.
Oh, and if anybody plans on coming out here, get in shape.
God,
yeah.
Like, I'm in some of the best shape of my life, and holy crap, it still kicked my rear.
I'm to the point where I'm like, I am in the best shape of my life. Physically, I mean, mentally, shooting-wise, everything. I am in the best shape of my life, and it still about kills me.
Yeah, I mean, my thinking is you're never going to be fully prepared to be in the mountains. You have to expect.
Well, it's a mentality.
Yeah.
Like, you can get your body as close as you can, but, like, you got to have that mentality that you don't want to stop.
Like I've said, you can't quit. You can't have any quit any out here. And mm-hmm. I think we've all proven. My dad even said, he's like, you have proven to everybody you do not have an ounce of quit in you.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, he told us all. We busted it yesterday getting that bull out, and that was not an easy pack.
I mean, so to put it in perspective for you guys, I carried the head and most of the hide. We're debating on a shoulder mount or a Euro mount, so we kept a lot of the hide for that. But that was near 100 pounds. The hindquarters were near 100 pounds. And the front quarters were probably 50 to 75 pounds, roughly. I didn't pick those up as much. But, and then you have the backstrap, the loins, the heart, all of that that we packed out. That's probably another 50, 60 or so pounds.
Yeah. It felt, when I was holding it, because I pulled those back, and it felt like at least 40 pounds.
I mean, like... Yeah. We packed out, we didn't just, and our typical pack, so we're carrying our 40 to 50 pounds roughly.
Yeah, with all of our camp stuff
yeah.
like we had yesterday.
So you're, absolutely. I mean, you're doubling the weight of your pack pretty much on your pack outs, and then having to hike back in the mountains 2.5 miles.
Multiple
yeah.
times.
Yeah, multiple times. We made what, three, you guys, how many trips did you make?
Did we make three or four trips?
I think I made two.
We made three.
I took both hindquarters. Clyde, you took both short.
First time I took the shoulder, second time I took the shoulder, and then I think it was...
The back straps? Or was it the miscellaneous stuff?
Yeah, so it was the front shoulder and then the miscellaneous stuff. I felt bad for making you take the hind end the first time.
Yeah, that was the heaviest part. My dad texted me, he's like, by the way, they screwed you. This weighs at least double what that shoulder does right
so
now.
So I'm like, I gotta take at least some of the miscellaneous stuff.
And I will give it to Clyde. He offered to take the hind quarter, and I got all excited. I had that shoulder down. It's gonna be an easy pack down. He's like, actually, sorry, dude, it won't fit. You gotta take it. I was like...
Yeah, I could not get it to fit in my pack.
I was like looking around, like, is there any way I could have Austin pack this down and stay here and do something? But we already had it all done. I was like, never mind.
No, we got it figured. I mean, sure, we probably could have done it better, but I think we did pretty decent.
Yeah, for our first pack.
I also want to point out, we packed it out. Your dad, have to say thank you to him for running it to the processor.
Oh, absolutely.
Then we ran some of the extra that we got to the processor. And found out something really cool. Kind of patting ourselves on the back here and kind of bragging, but...
We deserve it at this
point. It's a really cool, just... It's almost like an honor just to have put in the work outside of being in, like, back home putting in the work and then getting here putting in the work. We're the only bull that this processor has had brought in.
Granted, it's only day two.
But it's a weekend, and there's a lot of weekend warriors that come out. In Colorado, just across the area.
Well, not only is it a weekend, it's Labor Day weekend.
Yeah. And now this processor is, I think, one of the closest ones in the area. There's probably others that people go to. People are probably, you know, doing it themselves too. But a lot of people will take it to a processor, and for that to happen and him say, really, the only bull that's been brought in is yours.
Yep. Well, honestly, I think if... we didn't shoot it so early, we probably just would have done it ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
But since we're still going to be out of here for another, 5 or 6 days.
Yeah.
That's the one reason. Like, I'm like, well, might as well keep hunting because we got to wait till that one's done. So we might as well kill another.
Yeah.
Hopefully get some grouse on in between.
We tried that. I missed really bad.
Yeah, Deacon killed a bull stump.
Yeah.
A bull stump.
I wasn't shooting my release. I was shooting a thumb release, and I'm used to a wrist release. So.
True.
That trigger pulled weird. I was like trying to get it to pull like mine, and I just jerked it and shot like a foot to the left. I thought it was going to be cool if I killed it, and it would have been, but I whiffed down.
I got the miss on video.
Well, when this rainstorm passes, we can get back out
there. Take another walk.
Yeah. I mean, stretching our legs, getting our feet back in shape, because we're getting back after it tomorrow.
Yeah, and I mean... We'll probably record another podcast towards the end because, I mean, we killed one opening day.
Yeah.
There's still a lot of hunting left to do. We're going to bust our butts still. I mean, we're not going to give up, but I feel like killing another one, I feel like it proves to me personally that we know what we're doing. It kind of validates it. Like, we didn't just get lucky. We know what we're doing. We know how to kill these things. And, you know, they do say the hardest part is finding them. And even the best people, you know, the best hunters will come to town to hunt over the counter and whatnot and talk to the locals. Mm-hmm. Because the locals know where the herds are.
And
some may not tell you. Some may. You just kind of have to play it by ear and see.
And one of the best parts was we talked to Nate, or
The Chinese man.
Cut that. And we had him, or like we walked in there and he kind of gave me the thumbs up, thumbs down. I shot him a thumbs up. He gave me a high five. I was like, I knew it. I knew you guys would get into him there.
Right.
And he was just as excited as we were. I mean, it seemed like pretty close.
Yeah, that was really cool. That was a special moment.
Yeah.
You want to do a round our campfire?
Yeah, we can knock one out really quick. Stay persistent.
That's really good.
Yeah, stay persistent. I mean, you got to have that mentality. You can't quit in you. So stay after them. Don't give up.
All it takes is just one.
Stay in shape. Mounds will kick your rear end. Yep.
Absolutely. I would say shoot your bow.
Yep.
It's going to make a difference. It'll give you that confidence to shoot out further distances on whatever you're hunting. So,
yep.
With that, we'll wrap this one up. If you guys like this one, leave a rating, review, like, share this podcast. It helps it get out to more people. And we'll catch you on the next one. And I forgot to say, all it takes is just one.